therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Psalm 37:7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. From Lamentations 3:26, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And from Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear the second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Well, I and my wife enjoy coming down to Toronto to Main Street Nazarene Church. And when your pastor asks me, and I know it's the last Sunday of the year, having been here last year, the same Sunday, and how diligent you are taking notes, I knew that I couldn't preach the same sermon over again. So I had to come up with another one. And your pastor and I know at times how difficult it is to bring together several things. So we had the theme of Christmas. And I'm glad your church was decorated. I'm glad you had the Advent candles, your Christmas Eve service. And it's the last Sunday of the year. And so we're marking the days to the new year. The old year is gone, the new year is coming, and I don't know about you, but Linda and I are usually under the covers, and we don't stay to watch the big ball in New York to come down. We will see the new year in whatever. And so we have Christmas, the old year, and the new year. For Linda and I, 2019 was a very good year, but a year with some very deep valleys and disappointments. For the first time in many years, Christmas was difficult for us. I look forward to the opportunities to faithfully love and serve God in 2020. How about you? I'm not one for making resolutions on New Year's Eve. You know, the people that sell gym memberships are very, very thankful for them. I don't go to the gym because too many people have heart attacks there, so I just stay away from the gym. But I am determined to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Yes, it's a new day, and we are 1 year closer to his coming. But are you watching? Are you waiting patiently? More importantly, are you ready? Now, I hope there's at least one other NFL football fan than me. Anybody watch NFL football? Nobody? Oh, good. Yeah, confess. Linda has to because we have one TV, right? Anyway, for those of you that don't, I'm sorry about that. But I love the intro on Monday Night Football. I love watching Hank Williams Jr. as he sings, "Are you ready for some football?" Oh, come on. You're not ready for football? Okay, anyway. Are you ready for Monday Night Football? Are you ready for football? Millions get ready. They get their drinks, they get their wings, they get everything all set up to watch the game. And tens of thousands of people go to the stadium. And the coaches and the teams are ready. They can't dwell on the past losses or their past victories. This is a new game, and they are ready. For as long as I can remember, getting off of the Don Valley Parkway, how many of you drive a car? Well, we got three here that drive cars. Anyway, for the rest of you, when you come down the Don Valley Parkway, and you want to exit Richmond, you just get around that curve and there's a big sign on a wall. What's it say? This is going to be a long service, folks. Goodness sakes. Anyway, on the big brick wall as you're coming around the curve off the Down Valley Parkway, it says, "Prepare to meet your God." That's a text from Amos, chapter 4, verse 12. It ought to scare everyone into the kingdom, but it doesn't. There's no impact, I don't think. I doubt if any clergyman here in Toronto has counseled someone who called up and said, "Pastor, I got to talk to you. I saw the sign, prepare to meet your God, and I'm not ready." Doesn't even fizz. As thousands and thousands and thousands from year to year pass that sign, I'm concerned that we aren't feeling any urgency in being ready for our Lord's return. What would happen if millions of Christians around the world every Sunday would cry out with one voice at one time, "Are you ready for eternity? Are you prepared to meet your God? Are you ready for the battle of right and righteousness? Are you ready for His second coming?" That was broadcast every weekend as millions would listen and gather for the rallying call. I wonder what impact that would have. Are you waiting for a signal? Do you know and understand the game plan? Well, the church over the last few centuries has tried to help you and I be ready, to help us deal with the waiting. Now we've come through Ash Wednesday. What's Ash Wednesday begin? Lent, in preparation for Easter. It's a time of waiting, a time of preparation, a time of soul searching. And then we get to Christmas time, and what do we have? Advent. It's a time of waiting, upon a time of searching and reflecting and hoping. Well, the Jewish people had the prophecies. You have them in your Bible. But they were hundreds of years old. The Isaiah prophecy, for example, about the virgin was 700 years old. That's a long time to wait. And nothing had happened. And it was hard to wait. Hard to stay alert. Now the Magi, they're interesting characters. They had enough of the scriptures to know that there would be a sign in the sky. And from wherever they came from, they were watching the sky, and watching the sky, and watching the sky. And then what happened? The star appeared. They saw it. I confessed to my wife, "I'm going to be a bit hard on Mary and Joseph and singing." And here's why. Mary and Joseph knew that the baby was coming, right? Now, how many mothers do we have here? Got a couple. Come on. All right. It takes a while, right? And there's preparation. They were waiting. But sadly, they were not prepared. Joseph had not called ahead to Motel 6 in Bethlehem, and the light was not on for them. Think about that whenever. But Jesus came anyway. And no, the mothers that are out here know that sometimes the doctor said there's a date, and you surprise the doctor. And your family. Now Simeon, and we read the story about him, is an interesting character in our Christmas story. Bethlehem is about 5 kilometers from Jerusalem. That's not very far. Simeon was a devoted and righteous man who served in the temple. Now what's amazing, and I have a big question about, why in 8 days nobody from Bethlehem came to the temple and said, did you hear what happened in Bethlehem? Did you hear about the angels? Did you hear about that baby was born? I just can't get my head around that here's a man spending all this time in the temple and people coming to the temple regularly and nobody had mentioned that to him. Simeon, I believe, would have known Mary. Those who study about Mary, study Mary's life, and I included, we believe that she grew up right around Jerusalem. She knew the scriptures, and that she probably served and helped out in the temple. And my guess is that Simeon being an old man, Mary being a young woman, there was a very good chance that he would have known her. Simeon didn't travel to Bethlehem to check things out. The Bible says that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. They were all living under the iron hand and the guard of the Roman soldiers and their emperors. I'm sure for all of his life, the words of Isaiah rang through his head and his heart many times, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Then, as brightly as the angels to the shepherds, Simon saw them. He's there. He's in the place where he should be, like we should be on Sundays, right? We should be here. He was there. He was there. He saw them, Mary and Joseph and the baby, coming into the temple, and then there was joy and tears and peace for all his. Brother read the text, and then Simeon said, after I saw the baby, what's he said? I'm ready to die. Now there's a plan. You see the Christ child, and the very next line you say is, okay, God, I'm ready to go. After all of your prayers, after all of your waiting, and all of that's been rewarded. How is it Simeon didn't call them and say, hey, people, he's here. Come and see the baby, the Christ child, the Messiah, the consolation of Israel. He's here. Come see, look, the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one. Well, I believe like today, that most weren't waiting. Most weren't expecting. Most were doing what they had been doing for generations. There was no urgency. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had been silent, the scriptures make it clear, for about 400 years. No new prophet, no new word from the Almighty. Many babies had been circumcised. Many happy parents had come in and out of the temple. I'm wondering if you and I have celebrated, did you and I celebrate Christmas as though it would be the last one? Did you and I get up this morning expecting the Christ of Christmas to return today? My guess is that it's hard for you as it's hard for me. But wait patiently. Are you and I ready to meet our God today? Now? Simeon was patiently waiting, but he wasn't expecting it to happen. But it did. Those who know me, that would be my wife and maybe one or two others of you, now you all know that I hate waiting. Do I have any relatives here that have that same gene? It just gets to me. I hate waiting in line. I hate waiting in traffic. I really hate waiting an hour and a half to see the doctor. or longer sometimes, I get frustrated, angry, and upset. And you all know that that does not help and it does not change the situation you're in. But I still hate waiting. We forget that our Lord's return is going to happen. What's the Bible say? In a blink of an eye. And the flash of, well, you hear the thunder first and then the lightning is fast. When we least expect it, none of us knows that our homes are being broken into at this point. He's going to come as a thief. Come when we least expect it. With the sound of the trumpet. Are you ready? Are you ready for his coming? Find a quiet place sometime in the near future, maybe before next Sunday when your pastor has a new sermon for you, and read Lamentations, the whole chapter. It's about 60-some verses. You see, we know parts of Lamentations. How many have heard this before? Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We just love that. But I don't like, and maybe you don't like what I underlined it, where it says, we are not consumed. We are not consumed. Believers in the Old Testament and the New Testament up until now have faced incredible atrocities. Pain and suffering and heartache, abandonment, terrible deaths and misfortune. But we're not consumed. We just have to bear it a little bit longer. Experience a little bit more. For why? Well, we're not consumed. Why? Because most of us here today have figured out and we have learned to wait patiently. And if you're in pain this morning, or if you've had a major upset this year, or a great disappointment, that's not a fun place to be. But you and I have learned to wait patiently and with hope. You see, we've read the last chapter of the book, right? And Christians win. Job experienced horrendous stuff in his life. But through that horrendous story of his life, he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. It kept him going. It gave him hope. Habakkuk. In his writings. I don't care what happens. The granaries can be empty. The stalls are empty. But I'm still going to believe. I'm still going to hold on and hope. In Jeremiah. And you've got to read all the chapter. New mercies. New strength. New hope. Every morning. The early Christians faced the lions. I don't know what that would be like. And it was for sport. Some of the early Christians were even bound up, tarred, and lit a fire to light up the park area for those horrible people that were celebrating. This year in our lifetime, ISIS leader Benghazi. We heard very little about it. Because the liberal press doesn't want to talk about it. But that evil person crucified Christians. Did you know that? He crucified Christians. He beheaded Christians. And he died a coward behind three of his children. The church around the world is being persecuted. Christians like you and I are brothers and sisters more than any other time in the lifetime of the church are being persecuted. Recently I read of a political leader who, if he wins in the India elections, wherever that happens, in India 2021, he wants Christianity banned in India. Yes, there are new mercies each morning, but many times the sun is covered with clouds. If you're like me, during those tough times you woke up to a new day, but the problems, the pain, the losses, the disappointments consumed the joy, the hope, and the mercies of that new day. But we keep on praying, and we cry out to our God, and we read our Bibles, and we wonder, while we wait, why are you so quiet, God? Why don't you answer our prayers? Why don't you do something? Am I the only one that's thought about that? Had those thoughts? Again, read the whole chapter 3 of Lamentations. But after those favorite verses that I quoted or read earlier, verses 24 and 26 say in Lamentations 3, "The Lord is my portion. Therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." So we wait. We wait patiently. We wait quietly. We wait in pain. We wait when it's not fair. We wait. But we don't just sit there and wait. When we can't see the light of the dawn and it's dark, we remember that we have a responsibility to be a light in this dark world. And what does that mean? Well, for me, and maybe to you, it means that I need to keep on doing what is right. Keep on believing, keep on trusting, keep on praying, keep on hoping that God, as he did in the past, is going to honor his promise in the future, and it could be today. And so I have a responsibility. Two proverbs that have become dear to me are these, Proverbs 4:18. "The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day." Yeah, we have a responsibility. Proverbs 13:9 says, "The light of the righteous shines brightly." When you don't feel like it and it doesn't seem right, do what is right and let your light shine. Simeon continued to be a devoted, righteous man all through his life until he saw it. Moses looked after sheep for 40 years before that green bush got his attention and he got his mandate. The Magi kept on looking and watching the sky until they saw the star. Job kept on believing, hoping, trusting after all of his losses. Isaiah writes that he waited patiently till dawn. David wrote, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently." All of these people I referred to all had things to do, life to care about, obligations to fulfill. While they waited, they continued believing and doing what is right. But what's it mean to you when I say keep on doing what is right, even when it's dark? Even when there is no miracle. Even when it hurts. Even when you don't have enough money. Even when you pray, "Lord, help my unbelief." Even when you feel abandoned and alone. Even when you face death, realizing Jesus has not yet returned. Well, for me, been slapped more than once. I came into work once or twice at the Toronto Police, and someone would say to me, "What's the matter with you, Rev?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" And more than one person on different occasions said, "You don't have your smile." So for me, it means getting my smile back. For me, even when I don't feel like it, I know it's right, I keep on tithing and giving. For me, it means I keep on doing and nurturing my devotional life. For me, it means to continue praying and believing and hoping. For me, it means to continue to encourage others to believe. For me, it means being honest about some of the struggles I have in my beliefs. For me, it means to continue showing kindness, renewing my commitment to Christ. For me, it means continuing to look to the eastern sky, listening for the trumpet sound, that last trumpet. For me, it means to be ready. Are you ready to get back in the game in 2020? Are you ready to face the forces of evil in 2020? Are you ready to go on the offensive in 2020? If so, then listen to Hosea. He says, "Break up the hard, fallow ground of your hearts." You see, we need to be always preparing our hearts for new blessings. Isaiah added to that, he said, "Enlarge your tent, get ready for blessing, expand. God has something special for you. You got to be ready for it." Peter writes, "His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness." Are you ready for the new year? If not, why not? It's not a football game. It's all about eternity. Your eternity. And my eternity. It's game on. Satan and the forces of evil against Jesus and the saints. Don't worry about watching the replays. She's always doing something during the game. I said, "Linda, watch this replay." Because she missed the actual thing. Well, I point out what happens. Don't worry about watching the replays. The coaches and the quarterbacks and everybody involved in the game, they're not watching the replay. They're watching the game clock. Keep your eye on the clock in the eastern sky. Are you ready to give and be your best for the team? Are you ready? Are you patiently waiting? Are you ready? The parable of the 10 virgins, which was read earlier, was told by Jesus. It's all about my message today. Think of it. One bridegroom, 10 virgins. That would be quite an opportunity, wouldn't it? Have to choose which one. All 10 met the requirements to be married. All of their fathers and their families approved that the virgin was ready. And back in the day, the dowry was ready. The dress was all fitted and ready and clean. The fingernails, and I would think some paintings. And the hair. Everything was ready. It's an evening wedding. All of the dads must have asked their daughters, "Do you have enough oil for your lamp?" The camel ride from the city out here might be late. You might need more oil. Five of the girls said, "You're right, Dad. Let me take some extra." He might be late. Five said, "You may have a daughter or a son like this or a grandson. It's okay, Dad. I am okay, everything's ready, no problem." Why would he be late for the wedding? I'll take my chances. Friends, this is a parable about the church, the bride of Christ. Sadly, the further we get from Bethlehem, the harder it is to keep watch, to be ready, to keep our hearts tender. The church is you, and the church is me. We are the bride. We all look great. Some of you look better than others. It's the guys that have trouble looking great. Girls and the women have no problem with that. We look like we are ready, but are we? On the eve of this new year, examine your heart. Reveal your commitment to Christ. Invite the Spirit of God to cleanse and renew your heart. Don't miss any meetings with the coach. Check your equipment. It's game on. Don't leave anything to chance. At the end of that parable, Jesus said, "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour of his coming." Are you ready? Are you ready for his coming? I am. And I trust that you are. But if you're not, as you were invited to earlier, it's not hard to get ready. Confess your sins. Bow before the Christ of Bethlehem. Invite the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, to be your Christ, to be your Lord. May you all have an incredible